The wolf's ears wilted. "It's true, mistress. I have a temper. A temper as big as my muscles. But it only came out when I was wronged. A lot of people think they can cheat traders. They think we are little more than thieves and will not stand up for ourselves. When I settled disagreements with my temper, they tended to stay settled." Kalin gave the wolf a little smile. Brophy had a reputation that, although not unearned, was larger than the truth. She looked up at Richard. The business he was in was dangerous, and therefore very profitable. Brophy made enough money at it to support his hobby. Almost no one knew about it until after I touched him and he made his confession. The wolf put his paws over his head. "Oh, mistress, please, must we?" Richard frowned. "What was this hobby?" Kalin's smile widened. Brophy had a weakness. Children. As he traveled around in search of things to trade, he would stop at orphanages and see to it they had what they needed to take care of the children. All the gold he made ended up in different orphanages so the children could be cared for and not go hungry. He twisted the arms of the people running the orphanages to swear them to secrecy. He didn't want anyone knowing. Of course, he didn't have to twist very hard. Brophy's paws were still over his head, and his eyes squeezed tightly shut. "Mistress, please," he whined. "I have a reputation." He opened his eyes and rose up on his front paws, "and a well-earned one at that. I've broken my share of arms and noses. I've done some pretty despicable deeds." Kalin lifted an eyebrow to him. "Yes, you have. Some were reason enough to get you thrown in prison for a time, but none were reason enough to chop off your head." She looked back up at Richard. "You see, since Brophy had been seen around orphanages, and because of his reputation, no one was too surprised when he was accused of the murder of a little boy."
"Demon Nass," Brophy growled. "Accused by Demon Nass."
His lips curled back, showing his long teeth as he growled. "Why didn't the people at the orphanages stand up for you?"
"Demon Nass," Brophy growled again. "He would have slit their throats."
"Who is this Demon Nass?" Kalin exchanged a look with the wolf. "Remember when Darkin Rall came to the mud people and he took Sidon? Remember when he said Sidon was a gift for a friend? Demon Nass is that friend." She gave Richard a meaningful look. "Demon Nass has a very sick interest in little boys." Richard felt a stab of fear and pain for Sidon and for Savidlin and Weslin. He remembered his promise to try to find their boy. He had never felt so powerless.
"If I ever find him," Brophy growled fiercely, "I will settle a few scores. He's not fit to die. He must pay first for the things he's done."
"You just stay away from him," Kalin warned. "He is a dangerous man. I don't want you hurt any more than you have been already." The wolf's yellow eyes flared angrily at Kalin for a moment before they cooled.
"Yes, mistress." He lay back down. "I would have faced the executioner with my head held high. The spirits know I may have earned it, but not for that. I would not let them kill me, thinking I had done those things to children. So I demanded a confessor."
"I didn't want to take his confession." Kalin picked up a stick and pushed at the dirt. "I knew he wouldn't have requested a confessor unless he was innocent. I talked to the judge. He said that in view of the crime, he would not commute the sentence. It was death or a confession. Brophy insisted upon a confession." Richard could see the firelight reflecting in the wetness of her green eyes. "Afterward, I asked him to pick another creature he would choose to be, if he had a choice. He chose a wolf."
"Why a wolf? I don't know."
She smiled a little. "I guess it fits his nature." "Because wolves are honorable creatures," Richard smiled. "You haven't lived in the forest. You've lived among people.
Wolves are very social creatures, have strong ties and relationships. They are fiercely protective of their young. The whole pack will fight to protect them, and all members of the pack care for the young.
You understand,
Brophy whispered.
Really, Brophy?
She asked.
Yes, mistress. I have a good life. Now.
His tail swished back and forth.
I have a mate. She's a fine wolf. She smells divine. And her nips give me shivers. And she has the cutest little... Well, never mind.
He looked up at Kaelin.
She's the leader of our pack. With me at her side, of course. She's pleased with me. She says, and the strongest wolf she has ever seen. We had a litter this last spring. 6. They're fine pups, almost grown now. It's a fine life. Hard, but fine. Thank you, mistress, for releasing me.
I'm so glad, Brophy. But why are you here? Why aren't you back with your family?
Well, when you were coming down out of the Rang Shada, you passed near my den. I sensed your presence. I found I could smell you. The urge to protect you was too strong to overcome. I know you are in danger, and I can't be at peace in my pack until I know you're safe. I must protect you.
Brophy, she protested, we're fighting to stop Darkin Rahl. It's too dangerous for you to be with us. I don't want you to lose your life. You have already sacrificed too much to Darkin Rahl through Demon Nas.
Mistress, when I was changed to the wolf, it removed most of my need for you, my need to please you. Yet I would still die for you. It is still extremely difficult for me to go against your wishes, but in this, I must. I will not leave you to danger. I must protect you, or I could never be at peace. Command me to leave if you will, but I will not go. I will shadow you until you are safe from Darkin Rahl.
Brophy, Richard said. The wolf looked over to him. I, too, want Kaelin protected so she can do her job and help stop Rahl. I would be honored to have you along. You have already proven your value in your heart. If you can help protect her, you just ignore what she says and go right on protecting her. Brophy looked up at her. Kaelin smiled at him.
He is the Seeker. I'm sworn on my life to protect him, as is Zed. If that is his word, then I must go along.
Brophy's muzzle opened in surprise.
He commands you? He commands the Mother Confessor?
He does. The wolf studied him in a new light, shook his head.
Wonder of wonders.
He licked his lips.
By the way, I would like to thank you for the food you have left me.
Kaelin frowned.
What are you talking about? Whenever he trapped food, he always left some for me.
You did? She asked. Richard shrugged.
Well, I knew he was out there, and I didn't know what he was, but I didn't think he meant us harm. So I left him food to let him know we didn't mean him any harm either.
He smiled at the wolf. But when you came at me back there, I surely thought I had made a mistake. Thank you again. Brophy seemed uncomfortable with the gratitude and stood.
I have been here long enough. I have woods to patrol. There might be things about. The three of you need not stand watch with Brophy on the job.
Richard pushed a stick at the fire, watching the sparks swirl into the air.
Brophy, what was it like when Kaelin touched you,
when she released her power into you? No one spoke. Richard looked into the wolf's yellow eyes. Brophy's head turned to Kaelin.
Tell him,
she whispered in a broken voice. Brophy lay back down, folding one paw over the other, his head held high. He was silent for a long time before he spoke.
It's hard to remember everything of that time, but I will try to explain it the best I can.
His head cocked a little to one side.
Pain. I remember the pain. It was exquisite. beyond anything you could imagine. The first thing I remember after the pain is fear. Overpowering fear I might be breathing wrong, and it would somehow displease her. I almost died from fear that I would displease her. And then, when she told me what she wanted to know, it was a flush of the greatest joy I had ever known. Joy, because then I knew what I could do to please her. I was overjoyed that she had made a request of me, that there was something I could do to satisfy her. That's what I remember the most, the desperate, frantic need to do as she wanted, to satisfy her and make her happy. Nothing else was in my mind, only to please her. To be in her presence was beyond bliss. The pleasure of being in her presence made me cry with elation. She told me to tell the truth, and I was so happy, because I knew I could do that. I was thrilled to have a task within my power. I started talking as fast as I could to tell her all the truth I could. She had to tell me to slow down because she couldn't understand me. If I had had a knife, I would have used it on myself for displeasing her. Then she told me it was all right. And I cried because she was not displeased with me. I told her what happened. His ears wilted a little. After I told her I hadn't killed the boy, I remember she put her hand on my arm. The touch nearly made me faint with pleasure. And she said she was sorry. I misunderstood. I thought she meant she was sorry I hadn't killed the boy. I begged her to let me go kill another boy for her. Tears ran from the corners of the wolf's eyes. Then she explained that what she meant was that she was sorry for me being accused wrongly of the murder. I remember crying uncontrollably because she had shown me a kindness. She was sorry for me. She cared for me. I remember what it felt like to be near her, to be in her presence. I guess it was a feeling of love, but words are so hollow next to the power of the wanting of her. Richard stood. He could only make himself take the briefest of glances at Kaylin, at her tears. "Thank you, Brophy." He had to pause a moment to make sure his voice wouldn't fail him. "It's late. We better get some sleep. Tomorrow is an important day. I'm going to take my watch. Good night." Brophy stood. "You three sleep. I will stand watch tonight." Richard swallowed the lump. "I appreciate that, but I will stand my watch. If you wish, you may guard my back." He turned and started to leave.
"Richard!"
Zed called out to him. Richard stopped without turning.
"What bone is it that your father gave you?"
Richard's mind raced in a panic. "Please, Zed," he said to himself, "if you have ever believed a lie I have told you, believe this one."
"You must remember it. It was that little round one. You've seen it before. I know you have." "Oh, yes, I guess I must have. Good night."
Wizard's first rule. "Thank you, my old friend," he thought to himself, "for teaching me how to protect Kaylin's life." He walked on into the night, his head pounding with pain from without and from within. Chapter 39. The city of Tamarang couldn't hold all the people who wanted in. There were simply too many. People coming from every direction, seeking protection and safety, had overflowed to the countryside around the established quarters. Tents and shacks had sprung up on the bare ground outside the city walls and out onto the hills. In the morning, people had flowed down from the hills into the impromptu market quarter outside the walls. People who had come from other towns, villages, and cities lined up in streets laid out in haphazard fashion at makeshift stands, selling whatever they had.
Vendors sold everything from old clothes to fine jewelry. Fruits and vegetables were stacked at other stands. There were barbers and healers and fortune tellers, people who had paper and wanted to draw your face, and people who had leeches and wanted to draw your blood. Wine and spirits were for sale everywhere. Despite the circumstances of their presence, the people seemed in a festive mood. The imagined protection and ample supply of drink, Richard suspected. Talk floated freely of the wonders of Father Rawl. Speakers stood at the center of small knots of citizens, telling the latest news, the latest atrocities. The tattered folk moaned and wailed at the outrages done by the Westlanders. There were cries for vengeance. Richard didn't see a single woman with hair past her jawline. The castle proper sat at the top of a high hill, within its own walls, within the walls of the city. Red banners with a black wolf's head flew at evenly spaced intervals around the formidable castle walls. The huge wooden doors at the outer city walls stood closed, to keep the riffraff at bay, it appeared. Patrols of soldiers prowled the streets on horseback, their armor glinting in the noonday sun, specks of light in an ocean of noisy people. Richard saw one detachment, red banners with black wolf's head flying over them as they swept through the new streets. Some people cheered, some bowed, but all backed away as the horses passed. The soldiers ignored them as if they didn't exist. People who didn't move out of the way quick enough got a boot to the head. But none of the people moved out of the way of the soldiers the way they moved out of the way for Kaelin. People backed away from the Mother Confessor the way a pack of dogs backs away from a porcupine. Her white dress shone in the bright sun. Back straight, head held high, she walked as if she owned the whole city. She kept her eyes straight ahead and acknowledged no one. She had refused to wear her cloak, saying it wouldn't be proper, and that she wanted there to be no doubt as to who she was. There was no doubt. People fell over each other, getting out of her way. Everyone bowed in a wave in the wide circle around her as she passed. Hushed whispers carried Kaelin's title back through the throng. Kaelin didn't acknowledge the bows. Zed, wearing Kaelin's pack for her, walked at Richard's side, 2 paces behind her. Both his and Richard's eyes swept the crowds. In all the time he had known Zed, Richard had never seen him wear a pack. To say it looked odd would be an understatement. Richard kept his cloak hooked back behind the Sword of Truth. It raised a few eyebrows, but nothing like the Mother Confessor did.
"Is it like this everywhere she goes?" Richard whispered to Zed.
"I'm afraid so, my boy."
Without hesitation, Kaelin walked smoothly over the massive stone bridge to the city gates. Guards at the near end of the bridge fell back out of her way. She ignored them. Richard surveyed everything in case he needed to find a fast way out. The 2 dozen guards at the city gates were obviously under instruction to allow no one to enter. The guards, who had been standing at attention, looked nervously at each other. They hadn't expected a visit from the Mother Confessor. With a clank of metal against metal, some of them moved back, bumping into each other, and some didn't, not knowing what to do. Kaelin stopped. She stared ahead at the gates as if she expected them to evaporate out of her way. The guards in front of her pressed their backs against the gates as they looked sideways to their captain. Zed stepped around Kaelin, turned to her, bowed deeply as if to excuse himself for stepping in front of her, then turned to the captain.
"What's the matter with you? Are you blind, man? Open the gates!"
The captain's dark eyes shifted between Kaelin and Zed.
"I'm sorry, but no one is to enter. And your name is..."
Zed's face turned bright red. Richard had to work at keeping his own face straight. The wizard's voice was a low hiss.
"Are you telling me, Captain, that you were told if the Mother Confessor comes by, don't let her in?"
The captain's eyes looked less sure.
"Well, I was ordered, I'm not... Open the gates right now!
Zed bellowed, fists at his side.
And get a proper escort here this instant!
The captain almost jumped out of his armor. He yelled orders and men started running at his direction. The gates swung inward. Horses thundered up from behind and came around the little company, forming a rank in front of Kaelin with their banners at the lead. More horsemen formed up behind. Foot soldiers came at a run, falling in beside her, but not too close. Richard was seeing her world for the first time, the loneliness of it. What had his heart gotten him into? With cold pain, he understood her need for a friend.
You call this a proper escort? Zed roared. Well, it will have to do.
He turned to Kaelin, bowed deeply.
My apologies, Mother Confessor, for this man's insolence and his feeble effort at an escort.
Her eyes went to Zed, and she gave a slight bow of her head. Though he knew he had no right, the shape of her in that dress was making Richard sweat. As best they could, the men in the ranks kept a wary eye to Kaelin, waiting, and when she started forward, they stepped in with her. Dust rose around the horses as they started through the gates. Zed fell in next to Richard as the procession started moving, leaning toward the captain as he passed.
Count your blessings, the Mother Confessor doesn't know your name, Captain, he snapped.
Richard saw the captain sag with relief when they moved well past him. Richard smiled to himself. He had wanted to give them a worry, but he had no idea it would be so effective a worry. There was as much order to the city inside the walls as there was disorder outside its gates. Shops with their wares displayed in windows lined the paved streets radiating out from the fortress castle. The streets lacked the dust and smells of those outside. There were inns that looked to be finer than any Richard had ever seen before, much less stayed in. Some had doormen standing at attention in red uniforms and white gloves. Elaborately carved signs hung above the doors. The Silver Garden Inn, the Collins Inn, the White Stallion, and the Carriage House. Men in fine, richly colored coats, escorting ladies in elaborate dresses, went about their business with calm grace. One thing that wasn't different about the people inside the walls was that they, too, bowed deeply when they saw the Mother Confessor approaching. As the sound of the horses' hooves on the stone and armor clanking drew their attention and they saw Kaelin, they backed away and bowed, although not as quickly. There was no snap in their deference, no sincerity in their submission. There was a wisp of contempt in their eyes. Kaelin ignored them. The people inside the walls also noticed the sword more than those outside had noticed it. Richard saw the men's eyes glide over it as he passed, saw the women's cheeks color with disdain. Women's hair was still short, but occasionally there was some that touched the shoulders. None longer. That, too, made Kaelin stand out all the more, the way her hair cascaded off her shoulders and partway down her back. There was no woman with hair that even approached it. Richard was glad he hadn't cut it for her. One of the horsemen was given orders, and he broke rank in a dead run toward the castle to announce the arrival of the Mother Confessor. As she proceeded, Kaelin wore the calm expression that showed nothing, an expression he was used to seeing on her. He now realized what it was. It was the expression worn by a confessor. Before they reached the castle gates, trumpets announced the arrival of the Mother Confessor. The tops of the walls were alive with soldiers, lancers, bowmen, and swordsmen. All stood in ranks, bowed as one when Kaelin was close enough, and stayed bowed until she passed through the iron gates that stood open for her. Inside the gates, soldiers standing at attention lined each side of the road and bowed in unison as she passed. Some of the terraces held stone urns that marched off to either side, some of them still holding greenery or flowers that must have been brought out daily from greenhouses. Broad, flat areas displayed hedges trimmed in intricate patterns, even mazes. Closer to the castle walls, hedges were larger, cut to mimic objects or animals. They extended off to the sides as far as the eye could see. The walls of the castle soared into the air above them. The complicated stonework left Richard awestruck. He had never been this close to anything man-made that was this huge. Shota's palace was big, but not this big, and he had never gotten close to it. Towers and turrets, walls and ramps, balconies and niches all rose high into the air above them. He marveled at what Kaelin had told him, that this was an insignificant kingdom, and wondered at what the castles in the more important lands must be like. The horsemen had left them at the rampart, and as they were swallowed into the castle, the foot soldiers, six abreast with room for another six to each side, marched through the enormous pair of brass-clad doors and fanned out to the sides, leaving the three to walk on, Kaelin in the lead. The room was immense. A gleaming sea of black and white marble tiles swept away ahead of them. Polished stone columns, so large it would take 10 people holding hands to reach around each, and fluted with spiraling carved roping, rose in a line to both sides of the room, supporting row upon row of arches at the edge of the ribbed, vaulted center ceiling. Richard felt as little as a bug. Huge tapestries depicting heroic scenes of vast battles hung on the side walls. He had seen tapestries before. His brother had too. Richard rather favored them and had always thought they were a grand extravagance. But Michael's tapestries were to these as a stick drawing in the dirt was to a fine oil painting. Richard hadn't even known such majestic things as these existed. Zed leaned a little closer to him and whispered,
"Put your eyes back in your head and shut your mouth."
Chagrined, Richard snapped his mouth closed and put his eyes to the front. He leaned close to Zed and asked in a low whisper,
"Is this the kind of place she is used to?"
"No, the Mother Confessor is used to much better than this."
Overwhelmed, Richard straightened himself. Ahead lay a grand stairway. By Richard's estimation, his entire house would fit with room to spare on its central landing. Carved marble railings swooped down each side. Between themselves and the stairs waited a knot of people. At their front stood Queen Milena, an amply fed woman in layered silks of garish colors. She wore a cape trimmed in rare spotted fox. Her hair was as long as Kaelin's. At first, Richard couldn't figure out what she was holding, but when he heard the yapping, he realized it was a small dog. As they approached, everyone but the queen dropped to a knee in a deep bow. When they stopped, Richard stared openly. He had never seen a queen before. Zed gave him a sideways kick. He dropped to one knee and, following Zed's example, bowed his head. The only two who did not kneel or bow were Kaelin and the queen. No sooner was he down than everyone was back up, with him coming to his feet last. Richard guessed that the two women must not have to bow to each other. The queen stared at Kaelin, who, with her head held high, didn't break her calm countenance and didn't even look at the queen. No one spoke a word. Kaelin lifted her hand a little, only about a foot away from her body, with her arm held unbending, her hand held limply in place. The queen's expression turned darker. Kaelin's didn't change. Richard figured that if anyone had blinked, he would have heard it. The queen turned slightly to the side and handed the little dog to a man in a bright green sleeved doublet and black tights with red and yellow striped pantaloons. There was a whole gaggle of men behind the queen, dressed in similar fashion. The dog growled viciously and bit the man's hand. He did his best not to notice. The queen lowered herself to both knees in front of Kaelin. A young man in plain black clothes immediately came to the queen's side, holding a tray out in front of himself. He bowed head bent impossibly low, holding the tray out to the queen. She took a small towel from the tray, dipped it in a silver bowl of water, and used it to wipe her lips. She returned the towel to the tray. The queen took the mother confessor's hand lightly in her own and kissed it with her freshly cleaned lips.
"Fidelity sworn to the confessors, on my crown, on my land, on my life."
Richard had heard few people lie as smoothly. Kaelin at last moved her eyes. She looked down at the queen's bowed head.
"Rise, my child."
More than a queen indeed, Richard thought. He remembered teaching Kaelin to make a snare, to read tracks, to dig roots, and felt himself turning crimson. Queen Milena laboriously pushed herself to her feet. Her lips smiled. Her eyes didn't.
"We have not requested a confessor."
"Nonetheless, I am here." Kaelin's voice could have frozen water.
"Yes, well, this is grand, simply grand."
Her face brightened.
"We will have a banquet. Oh, yes, a banquet. I will send out runners with invitations immediately. Everyone will come. I'm sure they will be most pleased to dine with the mother confessor. This is quite an honor."
She turned, indicating the men in the red and yellow pantaloons.
"These are my barristers."
The men all bowed deeply again at the introduction.
"I don't remember all their names."
She held her hand out to two men in gold robes.
"And this is Silas Tannick and Brandon Gadding, the chief advisers to the crown."
The two gave a nod.
"And my Minister of Finance, Lord Rondell, my star guide, Lady Kiley."
Richard didn't see a silver-robed wizard among the queen's entourage. The queen waved her hand at a shabbily dressed man in the back.
"And James, my court artist."
From the corner of his eye, Richard saw Zed stiffen. James kept his lecherous eyes on Kaelin as he gave a shallow bow. He was missing his right hand at the wrist. The oily smile he gave her made Richard reach for his sword instinctively before he realized what he was doing. Without looking over, Zed's hand grabbed his wrist and took the hand away from the sword. Richard glanced around at the other people to see if anyone had noticed. No one had. They were all watching the mother confessor. Kaelin turned to the two of them.
"Zedekus Zorander, cloud reader, trusted advisor to the mother confessor."
Zed bowed dramatically. "And Richard Cipher, the seeker, protector to the mother confessor." Richard imitated Zed's bow. The queen looked at him, lifting an eyebrow with a sour look.
"Pretty pathetic protection for a mother confessor."
Richard made no change in his expression. Kaelin remained unruffled.
"It is the sword that cuts. The man is unimportant. His brain may be small, but his arms are not. He tends to use the sword too often, though."
The queen didn't seem to believe her. Behind the royal party, a small girl came gliding down the stairs. She wore a pink satin dress and jewelry that was too large for her. She strode up beside the queen, flipping her long hair back over her shoulder. She did not bow.
"My daughter, the Princess Violet. Violet, dear, this is the mother confessor."
Princess Violet scowled up at Kaelin.
"Your hair is too long. Perhaps we should cut it for you."
Richard detected the slightest smile of satisfaction on the queen's face. He decided it was time to elevate her level of worry. The Sword of Truth came out, sending its distinctive ring around the huge room, the stone amplifying the sound. With the sword point an inch from Princess Violet's nose, he let the anger of it rage through him to make his words more dramatic.
"Bow to the mother confessor," he hissed, "or die."
Zed acted bored. Kaelin waited calmly. No one else had eyes as wide as the princess as she stared at the sword point.
She dropped to her knees and bowed her head. Standing back up, her eyes went to him as if asking if the bow was all right.
"Be careful how you use that tongue," Richard sneered.
"The next time, I will separate it from you." She nodded and walked around her mother, standing on the far side of her. Richard sheathed his sword, turned, bowed deeply to Kaelin, who didn't look at him, and returned to his station behind her. The demonstration had the desired effect on the queen, her voice becoming a bright sing-song.
"Yes, well, as I was saying, it is grand having you here. We are all simply delighted. Let us show you to our finest room. You must be tired from your journey. Perhaps you would like to rest before dinner, and then after dinner we can all have a nice long..."
"I am not here to eat," Kaelin cut her off. "I am here to inspect your dungeon."
"Dungeon?"
She made a face.
"It's filthy down there. Are you sure you wouldn't rather..."
Kaelin started walking.
"I know the way."
Richard and Zed fell in behind her. She stopped and turned back to the queen.
"You will wait here,"
her voice was like ice,
"until I am finished."
As the queen began bowing her assent, Kaelin strode off with a swish of her dress as she turned on her heels. If Richard hadn't known her as well as he did, the entire encounter would have scared the breath out of him. In fact, he wasn't sure it hadn't. Kaelin led them downstairs and through rooms that became less and less grandiose the deeper they went into the castle. Richard was amazed at the size of the place.
"I was hoping Giller would have been there," Kaelin said. "Then we wouldn't need to do this."
"Me too," Zed grumbled. "You just make a quick inspection. Ask if anyone wants to give a confession. And when they say no, we go back up and ask to see Giller."
He gave her a smile.
"You've handled it well so far, dear one."
She returned the smile to the two of them.
"And Richard,"
he cautioned,
"you keep away from that artist, James."
"Why?
He might draw a bad likeness of me?" "Wipe that grin off your face. You stay away from him because he might draw a spell around you."
"A spell? Why would you need an artist to put a spell on someone?"
"Because there are many different languages in the Midlands, though the main one is the same as is spoken in Westland. To be spelled, you have to be able to understand it. If you can't speak their language, you can't put a spell on them. But everyone can understand a drawing. He can draw a spell on almost anyone. Not Kaelin or me, but he can on you. Stay away from him."
Their footsteps echoed as the three quickly descended stone steps. The walls, far below ground, leaked water and were covered in places with slime. Kaelin indicated a heavy door to the side.
"Through here."
Richard pulled it open by the iron ring, the strap hinges creaking. Torchlight lit the way down a narrow stone corridor with a ceiling he had to stoop to avoid hitting with his head. Straw covered the wet floor and smelled of decay. Near the end, she slowed to a walk and approached an iron door with a grill in it. Eyes peered out at them when she stopped. Zed leaned around her.
"The mother confessor, here to see the prisoners," he growled. "Open the door."
Richard could hear the echo of a key turning in the lock. A squat man in a filthy uniform pulled the door inward. An axe hung from his belt next to the keys. He bowed to Kaelin, but looked to be annoyed by it. Without a word, he led them through the little room just inside the door where he had been sitting at a table, eating, and down another dark hall to another iron door. He pounded on it with his fist. The two guards inside bowed in surprise. The three guards took torches from iron stanchions and led them down a short hall and through a third iron door that they all had to duck through. Flickering torchlight pierced the darkness. Behind cross-hatched flat iron bars to each side, men pushed themselves back into the corners, shielding their eyes with their hands from the sudden light. Kaelin spoke Zed's name quietly, indicating that She wanted something. He seemed to understand and took a torch from one of the guards and held it up in front of Kaelin so all the men in the cells could see her. There were gasps from the darkness when they recognized who she was. Kaelin addressed one of the guards. How many of these men are sentenced to die? He stroked his round, unshaven jaw.
Why, all of them.
All of them, she repeated. He nodded.
Crimes against the crown.
She pulled her gaze away from him after a moment, turning to the prisoners. Have all you men committed capital offenses? After a moment of silence, a hollow-faced man came and gripped the bars. He spat at her. Kaelin swept her hand back to stop Richard before he had a chance to move.
Come to do the Queen's dirty work, Confessor? A spit on you and your filthy Queen.
I do not come here on behalf of the Queen. I come here on behalf of the truth.
The truth? The truth is none of us has done a thing. Except maybe speaking up against the new laws. And since when is speaking up against your family starving or freezing to death a capital crime? The Queen's tax collectors came and took most of my crops. They barely left enough to feed my family. When I sold the precious little I could spare, they said I was overcharging people. The prices of everything are going wild. I'm doing nothing more than trying to survive, yet I am to be beheaded for price gouging. These men in here with me are all innocent farmers or tradesmen or merchants. We are all to die for trying to earn a living from our work.
Kaelin looked to the men in the corner. Do any of you wish to make a confession to prove your innocence? There were hushed whispers. A gaunt man in the darkness stood, came forward. His frightened eyes looked out at them from the gloom.
I do. I have done nothing, yet I am to be beheaded. My wife and children left to fend for themselves. I will give a confession.
He pushed his arm through the bars, reaching for her.
Please, Mother Confessor, take my confession.
More men stood, coming forward, all asking to give a confession. Soon, they were all at the bars, begging to give a confession. Kaelin and Zed exchanged a grim look. In my whole life, I have seen only 3 men ask to give a confession, she whispered to the wizard.
Kaelin?
The familiar voice came from the cell on the other side, from the darkness. Kaelin gripped the bars with spread fingers.
Siddin? Siddin?
She spun to the guards. These men have all given the Mother Confessor their confessions. I find them to all be innocent. Open the bars!
Now hold on, I can't be letting all these men out.
Richard drew the sword in an arc as he spun. The sword crashed a swath through the iron bars, and shards of hot steel and sparks filled the air. He spun around and kicked the iron door shut behind the startled guards. He had the sword at their faces before a single one of them managed to clear an axe from his belt.
Open the bars, or I will slice you in half and take the keys from your belt that way.
A shaking guard with the keys jumped to do as he was told. The door swung open, and Kaelin rushed in, going back into the darkness. She came back holding a frightened Siddin in her arms, holding his head against her shoulder. She whispered in his ear, calming him. Siddin jabbered back in the Mud People language. She smiled and told him things he smiled back at. As she came out, the guard was opening the other cell door. She held Siddin in one arm, and with her free hand she grabbed the guard's shirt collar.
The Mother Confessor finds all these men innocent.
Her voice was as hard as the iron around her.
They are to be released upon my order. You 3 are to escort them to safety outside the city.
He was a head shorter than she. She pulled his face closer to hers.
If you fail in any way, you will answer to me.
He nodded vigorously.
Yes, Mother Confessor, I understand. It will be done as you say, on my word.
On your life, she corrected.
She released him. The prisoners poured out of the cells, falling to their knees around her, crying, taking the hem of her dress in their hands, kissing it. She shooed them away. Enough of that. Be on your way, all of you. Just remember, confessors serve no one. They serve only the truth. They all swore they would remember and followed the guards out. Richard saw that many of their shirts were shredded or streaked with dried blood, their backs covered with welts.